Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, September the 17th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study of your word today. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us in the past, and we look forward to that which you have for us at this time. We want you to know, Lord, that we love you. And we desire to follow you closely, and we ask that you would allow us to be obedient. Teach us to be repentant and always willing to surrender to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's subject is Tower Builders in Our Time. Tower Builders in Our Time. Today we read from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. That would be Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And the title again, title, Tower Builders in Our Time. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and they begin to do. And now nothing will restrain from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 117, beginning at paragraph 1, in chapter 10, which is entitled The Tower of Babel, it says this, to repeople the desolate earth, which the flood had so lately swept from its moral corruption, God had preserved but one family, the household of Noah, to whom he had declared, thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Genesis 7 and verse 1. Yet in the three sons of Noah was speedily developed the same great distinction seen in the world before the flood, in Shem, Ham, and Japheth, who were to be the founders of the human race, were foreshadowed the character of their posterity. Noah, speaking by divine inspiration, foretold the history of the three great races to spring from their father of mankind, tracing the descendants of Ham through the son rather than the father. He declared, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. The unnatural crime of Ham declared that filial reverence had long been cast from his soul, and it revealed the impiety and vileness of his character. These evil characteristics were perpetuated in Canaan and his posterity, whose continued guilt called upon them the judgment of God. On the other hand, the reverence manifested by Shem and Japheth for their father, and thus for the divine statutes, promised a brighter future for their descendants. Concerning these sons, it was declared, blessed be Jehovah, God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. The line of Shem was to be that of the chosen people, of God's covenant, of the promised Redeemer. Jehovah was the God of Shem. From him would descend Abraham and the people of Israel, through whom Christ was to come. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord, says Psalm 114 and verse 15. And Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. In the blessings of the gospel, the descendants of Japheth were especially to share. But the posterity of Canaan descended to the most degrading forms of heathenism. Though the prophetic curse had doomed them to slavery, the doom was withheld for centuries. God bore with their impiety and corruption until they passed the limits of divine forbearance. Then they were dispossessed and became bondsmen to the descendants of Shem and Japheth. The prophecy of Noah was no arbitrary denunciation of wrath or declaration of favor. It did not fix the character and destiny of his sons, but it showed what would be the result of the course of life they had severally chosen and the character they had developed. It was an expression of God's purpose toward them and their posterity in view of their own character and conduct. As a rule, children inherit the disposition and tendencies of their parents and imitate their example, so that the sins of the parents are practiced by the children from generation to generation. Thus, the vileness and irreverence of Ham was reproduced in his posterity, bringing a curse upon them for many generations. One sinner destroyeth much good, says Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 18. On the other hand, how richly rewarded was Shem's respect for his father! And what an illustrious line of holy men appears in his posterity. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and his seed is blessed, says Psalm 37, verses 18 and 26. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to be 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. For a time, the descendants of Noah continued to dwell among the mountains where the ark had rested. As their numbers increased, apostasy soon led to division. Those who desired to forget their Creator and to cast off the restraint of His law felt a constant annoyance from the teaching and example of their God-fearing associates, and after a time, they decided to separate from the worshippers of God. Accordingly, they journeyed to the plain of Shinar, on the banks of the river Euphrates. They were attracted by the beauty of the situation and the fertility of the soil, and upon this plain, they determined to make their home. Here they decided to build a city, and in it a tower of such stupendous height as should render it the wonder of the world. These enterprises were designed to prevent the people from scattering abroad in colonies. God had directed men to disperse throughout the earth to replenish and subdue it, but these Babel builders determined to keep their community united in one body and to found a monarchy that should eventually embrace the whole earth. Thus, their city would become the metropolis of a universal empire. Its glory would command the admiration and homage of the world and render the founders illustrious. The magnificent tower, reaching to the heavens, was intended to stand as a monument of the power and wisdom of its builders, perpetuating their fame to the latest generations. The dwellers on the plain of Shinar disbelieved God's covenant that he would not again bring a flood upon the earth. Many of them denied the existence of God and attributed the flood to the operations of natural causes. Others believed in a supreme being, and that it was he who had destroyed the antediluvian world, and their hearts, like that of Cain, rose up in rebellion against him. One object before them in the creation of the tower was to secure their own safety in case of another deluge. By carrying this structure to a much greater height than was reached by the waters of the flood, They thought to place themselves beyond all possibility of danger. And as they would be able to ascend to the region of the clouds, they spoke to ascertain the cause of the flood. The whole undertaking was designed to exalt still further the pride of its projectors and to turn the minds of future generations away from God and lead them into idolatry. When the tower had been partially completed, a portion of it was occupied as a dwelling place by the builders. Other apartments, splendidly furnished and adorned, were devoted to their idols. The people rejoiced in their success and praised the gods of silver and gold and set themselves against the ruler of heaven and earth. Suddenly, the work that had been advancing so prosperously was checked. Angels were sent to bring to naught the purpose of the builders. The tower had reached a lofty height, and it was impossible for the workmen at the top to communicate directly with those at the base. Therefore, men were stationed at different points, each to receive and report to the one next below him the order for the passing from one to another. The language was confounded, so that material was called for which was not needed, and the directions delivered were often the reverse of those that had been given. Confusion and dismay followed. All work came to a standstill. There could be no further harmony or cooperation. The builders were wholly unable to account for the strange misunderstandings among them, and in their rage and disappointment, they reproached one another. Their confederacy ended in strife and bloodshed. Lightnings from heaven, as an advance of God's displeasure, broke off the upper portion of the tower and cast it to the ground. Men were made to feel that there is a God who ruleth in the heavens. The men of Babel had determined to establish a government that would be independent of God. There were some among them, however, who feared the Lord, but who had been deceived by the pretensions of the ungodly and drawn into their schemes. For the sake of these faithful ones, the Lord delayed his judgments and gave the people time to reveal their true character. As this was developed, the sons of God labored to turn them from their purpose, but the people were fully united in their heaven-daring undertaking. Had they gone on unchecked, they would have demoralized the world in its infancy. Their confederacy was founded in rebellion, a kingdom established for self-exaltation, but in which God was to have no rule or honor. Had this confederacy been permitted, a mighty power would have borne sway to banish righteousness, and with it, peace, happiness, and security from the earth. For the divine statutes, which are holy and just and good, men were endeavoring to substitute laws to suit the purpose of their own selfish and cruel hearts. Those that feared the Lord cried unto him to interpose, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded, in mercy to the world. He defeated the purpose of the tower builders and overthrew the memorial of their daring. In mercy, he confounded their speech, thus putting a check on their purposes of rebellion. God bears long with the perversity of men, giving them ample opportunity for repentance. But he marks all their devices to resist the authority of his just and holy law. From time to time, the unseen hand that holds the scepter of government is stretched out to restrain iniquity. Unmistakable evidence is given that the creator of the universe, the one infinite in wisdom and love and truth, is the supreme ruler of heaven and earth, and that none can with impunity defy his power. The schemes of Babel builders ended in shame and defeat. The monument, their pride, became the memorial of their folly. Yet men are continually pursuing the same course. Today, depending upon self and rejecting God's law, it is the principle that Satan tried to carry out in heaven, the same that governed Cain in presenting his offering. There are tower builders in our time. infidels construct their theories from the supposed deductions of science and reject the revealed word of God. They presume to pass sentence upon God's moral government. They despise his law and boast of the sufficiency of human reason. Then, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. And you'll find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. In the professedly Christian world, many turn away from the plain teachings of the Bible and build up a creed from human speculations and pleasing fables. And they point to their tower as a way to climb up to heaven. Men hang with admiration upon the lips of eloquence, while it teaches that the transgressors shall not die, that salvation may be secured without obedience to the law of God. But if the professed followers of Christ would accept God's standard, it would bring them into unity. But so long as human wisdom is exalted above the holy word, there will be divisions and dissensions. The existing confusion of conflicting creeds and sects is fitly represented by the term Babylon, which prophecy in Revelation chapter 18, verse 8, and Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, applies to the world-loving churches of the last days. Many seek to make a heaven for themselves by detaining riches and power. Psalm 73, verses 8 and 9 says, "They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They trample upon human rights and disregard divine authority. The proud may be for a time in great power and may see success in all that they undertake. But in the end, they will find only disappointment and wretchedness." The time of God's investigation is indeed at hand. The Most High will come down to see that which the children of men have builded. His sovereign power will be revealed. The work of human pride will be laid low. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devotions and the devices of the people of none effect. The counsels of the Lord stand forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Today God is observing us because he knows that they are tower builders in our time. Infidels who are constructing their theories from the supposed deductions of science and rejecting the revealed word of God. He knows that they presume to pass sentence upon his moral government. He knows that they despise his law and boast of the sufficiency of their own human reason. And they believe that because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set to protect themselves and to do evil. Men today still hang with admiration upon the lips of eloquence, while it teaches that the transgressor will not die, that salvation may be secured without obedience to God's law. But we have been told before, and we have been reminded today, if the professed followers of Christ would accept God's standard, it would bring them into unity. But so long as human wisdom is exalted above his holy word, there will be divisions and dissensions. Today God is calling you to deconstruct your tower, to stop building that which you think is so fantastic, and to trust in him, to allow him to be the guide of your life, the lead in all of the paths that you follow. Ask him for forgiveness. Come to him with an attitude of repentance, so that he might do for you that which you surely cannot do for yourself. If you will do this, God will respond, and he will guide you in the path of righteousness and protect you from the evil that surrounds. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of warning again. We thank you that you would help us to understand how important it is that we trust you, that our faith be strong and immovable. And today we ask that you would give us that which we need most, so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, September the 17th, 2020.